temple to where Jesus was. They told him all my sin and what I'd done. According to the law, I deserve to die. I stood in judgment there before God's Son. His enemies demanded to see justice done. He knelt and simply wrote upon the sand. And when he stood to speak, I trembled in my soul as with these words he answered their demands. He that is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, how I watched them walk away. He said, I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I have lived a new life since that day. He did not cast a stone. He did not lift his hand. The justice of his love was all he would demand. I deserve to die for all that I had done. Oh, praise his name, he did not cast a stone. Oh, ever since the day my Savior set me free, my life has been for him and him alone. He was the only one without sin on that day, but he chose not to cast a stone. He did not cast a stone. He did not lift his hand. The justice of his love was all he would demand. I deserve to die for all that I had done. Oh, praise his name, he did not cast a stone. He did not cast a stone.
Thank you for that. Let's stand briefly. We're going to read some scripture, and then we'll let you be seated. Acts chapter number 16. I know the service, we're starting a little bit later. We don't typically, we had the ladies' testimonies, which we don't typically have. And then for those of you newer, you say, what are all these testimonies about money? Well, we're building a brand new building. And you say, well, who's building it? We are. We're paying for it. It's our building. And so once a year we have our offering Sunday, and so we want to talk a little about that and challenge each other. And so that's what that is about. We don't do that every single service, so if you're new, bear with us. But we're trying to get that building done, and we're closer than we've ever been. And so pray with us about that if you could. We want to get that thing done. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. They brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. I pray these few minutes we have together that you would just be with us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're in a little mini-series here, I Love Church. We're in the middle of our I Love Sunday School campaign, but I love church. I always have. I think a Christian that does not have a church family misses out because they're missing out on the involvement and what God has to them in the church. This morning, I've looked at several reasons, and we won't rehash those. This morning, I want to look at another reason to love church. We're going to see that in this story. In the story, Paul had recently received the Macedonian vision. And as in obedience to that vision, he went and he ended up in Philippi. And there he started a church. Right off the bat, he met a lady named Lydia, and she trusted Christ and got saved. Immediately after that, their family gets baptized. By the way, baptism is the first step of obedience we take once we trust Christ. And we're not talking on that this morning, but if you've received Jesus Christ and you've not been baptized, I think you need to take that step. The Bible teaches us that's our first step of obedience. But that's what Lydia did. And as soon as she does, Paul now starts to be followed by this young damsel. This damsel who would be demon-possessed. And she was a soothsayer. She would tell fortunes. And she had some masters that were over her, and she made them money by giving fortunes. Well, she's kind of following Paul around and saying, "Watch out, these are the servants that show the way of salvation." And after a while, Paul gets irritated with it, or God says, "This is enough." And he turns and he rebukes the spirit, and the spirit comes out of her, and she's no longer doing that. Well, her masters, they only see it from a financial standpoint, and they're like, "There's our you just broke our business." And so they go to the magistrates, the rulers, and they get Paul and Silas in trouble, and Paul and Silas end up in jail. By the way, not jails like ours where you have video and all that stuff and all the nonsense. I mean, this was a real jail. In fact, they put them in the farthest part of the prison, and they put them in stocks. They locked them up. They were literally bound. Now, you think they would be down and discouraged, but Paul and Silas at midnight decide, "We're going to start singing." So they start praying, and they start singing, and God responds immediately with an earthquake. Everything busts open. Now, probably some of the other prisoners probably escaped. But Paul and Silas were the main prisoners. The jailer sees that. And the jailer is afraid because in the Roman days, if you were the jailer and someone escaped, you suffered their punishment. That's why he was going to kill himself. But Paul and Silas say, "No, don't worry about it. We're still here." And long story short, he goes, they get saved, and their family gets saved, they get baptized. He's washing them. He is feeding them. What is the point here? The point is, all of this was in response to their prayer and their singing. Singing. One reason I like church, because church has helped me, along with the Word of God, to put a new song in my heart. New song in my heart. By the way, the songs we sing are important. And when I got saved, God changed me. I was a rock and roller. Help you, okay? I'll help you. Believe it or not, I don't have any now. I used to have long hair. It used to flow. Now it just flew away, okay? It's gone. Robert knew. We're a rock and roller. And I got saved, and I started going to church, and I couldn't get into the church songs, Brother Pineda. I just couldn't. I'm like, that's not me. So I said, you know, I don't need music. I was listening to my music, and I was reading my Bible, and the stuff the guys I was listening to were talking about, the stuff I was reading in my Bible didn't go together, so I'm like, that's done. Let me get rid of that. I said, but the church music, I don't get it. But as I grew in my faith, God started giving me a love for Christian music. I listened to the depth of the words and the meaning of the song. And by the way, God did something in my heart. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. I love these verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. By the way, if you're saved, he's probably done that for you too. Now, for some of us, we were in the pit literally, and God drug me out and put me up. For some of you that have been saved younger in life, you have parents that bring you to church, God saved you from ever having to do or be a part of that. But he saved all of us. And then verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Why is singing a big deal? Singing is a sign that we are all in with God, and that no matter what's going on around us, God is doing something wonderful in our hearts. In our hearts. That's why I couldn't listen to stuff I used to listen to before, because that stuff was contrary to what God was doing in my heart. But these men could sing. What's the point? God wants us to be joyful. It's not just something that's manufactured. It's not just something that's fake. It's something that God does in our heart through his word and through being together with his people. A joyless Christian, that should not exist. If you're saved, God wants you to be joyful. By the way, Paul wrote back many years later, and we're studying this book on Sunday nights. Paul wrote back many years later to the Philippian church from jail again. Just seems Paul kind of ended up in jail. That's kind of his ministry. And from jail, he wrote back to the Philippian church and said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Throughout the whole book of Philippians, he talks about joy. Not some manufactured, something that, look at the singing on the outward is not a response to some type of music that drives it out of us. It's a response to God's working inside of our heart. These men had this. Well, I want you to notice several things about their singing this morning in the few minutes we have. First of all, I want you to see the road to their singing, the road. What happened? What caused them to sing in the first place? Because they were in prison. You say, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I know it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but when you have God in your heart, whatever's going on around you and outside of you cannot steal that joy that's inside of you. They were in the right place when this happened. Why were they in Philippi in the first place? Because Paul had a vision from God, and the vision said, come over and help us. And he was obedient to that call, and here he is a short time later in jail. Now, that would sometimes cause us to question, maybe this isn't where I was supposed to be. Doesn't that happen to us, by the way, sometimes? Circumstances in our life maybe aren't what they should be. And it causes us to question, hey, is this Christian life really the right thing for me? Let me just tell you this. Yes, it is. Let's not judge our Christian life based on all the nonsense that goes around us, on around us, that we have no control over. They had no control over that. They were genuine. He was sincere. He just wanted to reach people with the gospel, and he started to. And Satan started working, and he ends up in jail. Listen, doesn't mean they weren't in the right place. They were right exactly where God had wanted them. Now, sometimes we get in trouble because we're in the wrong place. Jonah learned that. Jonah chapter 2, God had told Jonah, listen, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, thank you for the suggestion. I'm going the opposite direction. And he ended up in the belly of the fish. And here's what he says in verse 2 of chapter 2. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And the Lord heard me, out of the belly of hell cried I. Wow. When we're in the wrong place, life can go kind of off center. And it almost feels like a living hell. You ever hear someone say, I believe hell is on this earth? Well, it can be, but that's not the real hell. There's something worse than that. But that kind of life can seem like that if we're away from God. But listen, if we're in the right place doing what God wants us to do and being where God wants us to be, don't let circumstances take that song from your life. You can still praise the Lord. They were in the right place, and they were also doing the right things. They're in jail simply because they're obeying God and sharing his word. Being in the right place, doing the right things. What's the whole point? Let's be very careful about letting the circumstances of our life determine the joy in our heart. Our joy ought to come from the Lord. I also want you to see, number two, the reality of their singing. Verse 25 of chapter 16, he says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. See, they didn't let that stop them. By the way, they didn't get arrested. They were read their Miranda rights, and they were taken care of, and they went down to the jailhouse, and they were processed, you know, like many of you have been, and they were put into their jail cell and that type of thing. That's not what happened. They ripped their clothes off. They beat them. When they were in jail, they were physically hurt. In jail, and then in stocks, not very comfortable. Now, if anything would cause you to question God, that would. But here they are. It's like, what do we want to do about this? I got an idea. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Like, huh? And they did it. They started singing in the midst of all that nonsense. By the way, anybody can sing when things go well, right? You know, who? Eugene just got that extra money coming in. And Hong got that money she wasn't expecting. Boy, that's singing time, right? You expect to pay the IRS, but hey, something went wrong. They paid us back. We got $3,000, and I was expecting to pay $2,000. I think I'll sing. Can you sing when you thought you were getting $2,000, you have to pay $3,000? Okay. Circumstances sometimes dictate that, but that's not how it's supposed to be. I want you to notice some things about their singing. First, look at the timing, at midnight. By the way, that's when you should be in bed, amen? That's when most people get in trouble. You hear the guys, hey, so-and-so, some famous athlete or some famous person, they got in trouble at night. Well, yeah, 2 a.m, you're going to get in trouble. Okay, that's just common sense. But at midnight, listen, this is a time when they should have been fatigued. This is the time that they were probably in pain. It's dark, and the reality of them being in that prison just simply for preaching the gospel and doing the right things, and here they are. It's like, let's sing. Let's sing. The darkest time is when we are supposed to sing. The most discouraging time is a time we need to think about the Lord and think, he has not left me. Lord, you're still good. One of the most powerful things I ever saw in my life, you were with me, I think, when we went to Brother Wilkerson's son's funeral. But we were sitting together, weren't we? Up in the balcony. Brother Wilkerson, the pastor of First Baptist, his son was tragically killed in a car accident. We went to the funeral over here, and we're sitting up there in the funeral. And I believe he got up to sing, even in the valley, God is good. And he got up and said, I'm going to try to sing this. And his voice started to crack, and he was having a hard time. And his wife got up and came up and sang with him. Oh, we can sing even in the valley. God is good when everything's going well. But can you sing it when you're really in the valley? See, we have too many emotional Christians. Too many emotional Christians. And by the way, we all struggle with that. I'm not trying to condemn you this morning. I'm trying to say, let's not live by our emotions. God is good all the time. Even in, look, you say, well, but this bad thing happened to me. How can God be good? God is still good, and God still loves you. And I know this, going through that without God would be worse than going through it with him. At the timing of it. I want you to see the tone of it. The tone of it was spiritual. They weren't singing some nonsense. I get a little weary, and pray for me. I'm not trying to offend anybody. A lot of our Christian songs nowadays it's like cotton candy. You know, I was walking down the street. I saw a dog bark at a tree, and I thought of Jesus. Really? That's shallow. I like songs that have a little more depth to them. You know what? Part of the reason they could sing is because they prayed too. There was nothing unspiritual about there. They weren't sitting there singing, you know, John David Jinglehoffer Smith or whatever that, you know. They weren't singing the ABC song. Listen, they were singing spiritual songs because only those songs were going to minister to their heart. And when they're having that tough time, that those songs that had depth and meaning came to their heart as they were praying, and it gave them encouragement. It takes spirituality to be able to sing those songs. One of the things that helped me change the direction of my life was when I changed the direction of my music. I was already starting to go the right direction, but man, when I started getting in with what God was doing and I was in tune with God, we need the right kind of songs in our life. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Why does he say do it in your heart? Because the way some of us sing, it'd be pretty painful for other people to hear. Okay. I wish I could sing. My son Jack, he can sing. He gets up here and he sounds good. Listen, if I got up here, it'd be horrific. Okay. Make a note. No. Take some of his money back. But you know what? I could sing in my heart. And I'll sing in my car if no one's there with me. And I'll turn the music up so I don't even have to hear myself. Okay. But it doesn't mean I don't like the songs and I don't want to sing. I'll sing when, you know, because this section of the choir back here, I'll sing with them because these guys can't sing either. So I kind of just blend right in. Got Jerry back for that one. He always tells me I can't sing. But listen. The point is, it can be spiritual. We can still worship God in the midst of that which is not very pleasant. I like Job. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose after he lost his children and everything, and he rent his mantle, and he shaved his head. By the way, that's pretty good. Okay. That's a message for another day. And fell down on the ground, and he worshiped. Wow. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. I pray by God's might, I could. But Job was very distraught. But you know what he said? I'm still going to worship the Lord. There's something spiritual about having the right kind of heart in bad times. I want you to know, also they're singing the thanksgiving. And he's saying praises unto God. Now, I'm sure he didn't say, hey, Lord, I'm so grateful that we got the beat down yesterday. No. I'm thankful, Lord, that even though they beat us, thank God we're still alive. Thank God you spared our lives. And thank God those people that were still reached, they were thankful unto God. There's always a reason we can be thankful. Yes, sometimes things aren't very good, but why don't we stop and dwell on the things that are still good? I say sometimes in marriages, you know, with couples, it's like, listen, if you dwell on your spouse's weak points, you could actually hate them. But if you quit focusing on their weaknesses and you focus on their strengths, you realize what a good deal you got. That's how we all have weaknesses. What are we going to focus on? We ought to focus on what God is doing. Because if we look for him, he is there. Again, I go back to Job. The next verse he said, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. And then he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, listen, I came out with nothing. I'm going back with nothing. Lord, he's given, he's taken. That's up to him. But you know what? I'm still going to bless his name. And that's what these men were doing. And then the last thing here, I want you to see the results of their singing. What happened? Well, first of all, there was freedom. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I mean, there was a freedom that came because they could sing in that situation. Now, for them, it was literal freedom. And it's almost like once God heard them singing, he says, I'll let these guys go. And he busted them out. By the way, there's an obscure story in the Old Testament. I think it's King Asa. They were going to go to battle, and they were outnumbered, and God said, you don't even have to fight. I'm gonna take care of it for you. So you know what he did? He got the song groups together. And the Bible says they all got on the battlefield, and they kind of hit out. And when they started singing praises to God, God said, that's my cue. And God struck them down. God responds when we are grateful and we sing to him. By the way, this blows my mind. God likes to hear us sing. Now, you don't want to hear me sing, but believe it or not, God must have these ears that are just take nonsense and like transform it into good stuff. God likes to hear. You know why? Because we're honoring and glorifying and praising him. God likes that. And so God gave them freedom. Now, look, none of us are in jail yet, if some of our politicians have their way. None of us are in jail yet. But you know what? Sometimes there's a bondage that comes. We're in bondage to the things that are going on in this life. We allow things to bring stress to us when God doesn't want us to have that stress. We allow the things that are going on in our life to almost paralyze us a little bit in what we're doing. And God says, I don't want you to have that. You can have a freedom to keep going forward for me, even in the midst of all the bad situations. And you know what? That song in our heart helps us to do that. There's freedom. You think about many of the hymns that are in our songbooks. Many of the hymns were written during times of conflict and times of really what could have been bitterness for those that wrote them. Many of our songs, if you'll look in our songbook, were written by a lady named Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind. She was blind. She wrote the one song, I Shall Know Him, by the print of the nails in his hands. She says, the first place I'm going to see is when I'm in heaven, and I'll know who Jesus is because of the print of the nails in his hand. There's another song, Be Thou My Vision. I love that song. It was written by a man named Dallin Forgale. He was also blind. Be Thou My Vision. He knew where it was. We know the song, It Is Well With My Soul, written by Horatio Spafford. He wrote that song at the very spot where a ship went down and his children were drowned. But yet he could still write with praise to God. There's one more song. It's called No One Ever Cared For Me by Jesus. It's written by a man named Charles Weigel. After his wife left him because she said, I don't want you to be a preacher anymore. I'm tired of this life. I'm leaving. And he was heartbroken, but God still allowed him the freedom to write that song. So there was freedom. I also want you to notice there was fear. The fear. You see, the keeper of the prison, he's afraid. He's afraid. He sees all this going on, and it doesn't make sense to him. You know why it doesn't make sense to him? He doesn't know the Lord. By the way, when we read in Psalm chapter 40, he said, there's a new song in my heart. Many shall see it or hear it in fear. People don't understand how we can have a song in our heart during bad times. People don't understand how we look around at everything that's going on in this world and we still say, praise God, I am excited to be saved. I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. That confuses people. By the way, that's good. Because you know eventually what's going to happen? They're going to say, how can they be joyful in these situations? And they're going to be exactly like this Philippian jailer. And they're going to come to the Lord. You know, we sing because it's good for us. We sing because it's good for the Lord. But you know why else we ought to sing? It's good for others. You know why most people have basically, they don't want to hear it from Christianity because Christianity is no different than what's going on out there. Why would they want something? I know this. When I walked into the doors of the church as a 17, 18-year-old, I wanted something different for my life. I didn't want what I had. I already had it out there. I already had it. And I knew it wasn't any, it wasn't any good. I'm glad I went to a church where they pointed me in the right direction. I went in there and I saw, listen, I was not a church boy. And I wasn't dressed like they were dressed. I was dressed like a punky kid. You know, whatever the trend of the day was, that was me. And I looked around and they were church people. And I wasn't church people. But you know, when I saw the joy in their hearts and the friendliness and the love they had for me, that spoke to my heart. The world needs people that, you know what? God is real. And we just live in America and we're a blessed country. Even as bad off as we really are getting, we're a blessed country. We're a blessed country. We can come to church this morning. No one's going to come and drive us out. I just read a story of a missionary. I won't mention his name. They're in restricted act. They're in China. Last Sunday, they were having their church, underground church. The Chinese police came in. Sent everybody home. Questioned the pastor, missionary, for like 7 or 8 hours. He still doesn't know what's going to happen. They can be driven out of the country. These people that, they're gone. Drive them all out. We don't have that in America. We can be a light. We can show people the way. People are looking for joy. We just don't know where to find it. But in the church house, in the Word of God, we have a new song in our heart. We know where it is. We can have a song during our difficult times. Let's all stand this morning.